Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Everett Piper, and he is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, established in 1909. He is the author of Why I Am a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas, and the viral op-ed, This Is Not a Daycare, It's a University, which now it's a book. In 2015, he received the Jean Kirkpatrick Award for Academic Freedom from the Bradley Foundation and the Conservative Political Action Committee. He has been featured on Fox and Friends, NBC Today, Varney and Company, The O'Reilly Factor, and The Glenn Beck Show, and a host of other radio and television venues, including us. Dr. Piper writes routinely for a number of publications. A native of Hillsdale, Michigan, Dr. Piper and his wife, along with their two sons, have served as OKWUs, that stands for Oklahoma Wesleyan University's first family since August of 2002. He actively participates on a variety of councils relating to culture engagement and public policy. And today we're going to talk about a number of things, one of which is a book by the title Not a Daycare. The subtitle is The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
So first, let's set the stage. This Not a Daycare, you know, just looking at the title, I really didn't know what the book was about. And then I realized that you had taken a pretty controversial stance. So just set the stage for us.
Well, setting the stage, I'm a university president. I'm a Christian university president. Oklahoma Wesleyan's mission is very clear, very unapologetically, Christian and conservative. We stand for the primacy of Christ, the priority of Scripture, the pursuit of truth, and the practice of wisdom. We call those our four P's, our four pillars. Primacy of Christ, Jesus is the Son of God, the priority of Scripture, the Bible is the Word of God, the pursuit of truth. Truth is given by God, not you, not me. It's a revelation of God, not a postmodern opinion or construct. And then the fourth pillar is the practice of wisdom. That holiness and sanctification, obedience, if you will, is not optional. It's mandated by God. And we tell everyone that. You cannot come to Oklahoma Wesleyan as a new student and not know that that's who we are. It's very clear. But in spite of that, 2 years ago, during Thanksgiving week, at a required chapel, where our chaplain gave a sermon on 1 Corinthians 13, the quintessential love chapter of the Bible, we had a student at Oakwu come forward and confront the speaker afterwards and say, you offended. You singled me out. You made me feel uncomfortable, and you made my peers feel uncomfortable today. The chaplain called me and said, hey, I need to give you a heads up. We had somebody play the victimization card today. And I was incredulous. I thought, not on my campus. Of all places, Oakwu? We've got the Snowflake Rebellion. We've got trigger warnings and microaggressions and a call for safe spaces on my campus. So I wrote an op-ed, an opinion piece for the local newspaper. And I basically said this, young man, you know that feeling of discomfort you had when you felt some guilt? It's called your conscience. It's a good thing. You might want to attend to it. We're not going to issue trigger warnings before altar calls at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. And in fact, we're going to confront your character rather than coddle you and make you feel comfortable. And if you don't like that, you might want to go someplace else because, my land, this is a university. It's not a daycare. Well, that not a daycare phrase told it went viral, started a grass fire, and within a week or two, 3.5 million people had read that opinion piece. It led to this book under the same title, Not a Daycare. And the point is this, education today, life today, the church today, it seems that our culture wants to dumb down everything to a level of safety rather than elevate it to a level of goodness. Now, what do I mean by that? If you take C.S. Lewis's statement in the Chronicles of Narnia, where he says that the great lion Aslan is not safe, but he's good. Let's paraphrase that. The great lion of the liberal arts, the great lion of the academy, the great lion of education, the great lion of the church, the great lion of Christianity should not be safe, but it is good. There's a huge difference between goodness and safety, and I'll take the first, goodness, over the second any day.
So when you're saying not safe, your affirmation, so to speak, where when people were willing to stand for something, it sometimes cost them their lives.
Yes, and we see these parallels in our daily life. We know that this lesson is true. For example, if you're a musician and you want to feel comfortable and not ever be challenged to perform, to practice, to listen to the teacher, to learn the rules, the laws of music, rhyme and rhythm and cadence. If you don't do any of that, just because you want to be comfortable rather than be challenged, you'll never perform a concerto. You'll always be playing chaos. People that are musicians know that. There's this paradox of discipline and freedom. Unless you're disciplined to the laws of music, you can never be free to perform as a musician. And athletes know the same thing. If you want to play soccer without boundaries, you can't do it. If you want to play basketball without a referee, you can't do it. G.K. Chesterton told us that if you get rid of big laws, you don't get liberty, but rather thousands and thousands of little laws that rush in to fill the vacuum. And that's what's taking place in our culture today. We can't live by 10 simple laws any longer, and Jesus narrowed it down to 2. So we refuse to live by 10 or 2 laws any longer as a people. And what's happening? Culture, government, rushes in and fills the vacuum with reams and reams of little laws, down to the point where they're telling us how to use the bathroom now.
Yes.
We don't have freedom at the hands of this call for safety because we've disparaged the big laws of goodness, if you will, the gospel. We now are being held in bondage by a government-imposed largesse that actually restricts our every step.
Now, do you think that this culture of passivity, or I'm sure it has a name, but this culture where
it's narcissism, it's narcissistic.
Yeah, where everyone's, you know, just kind of, I mean, the parents are raising their children. Well, we want to keep it open, let the kids decide what to believe. So now we're reaping that. Whose fault is that? Or
it's the churches and it's the parents. It's all of cultures, but the parents and the churches and the church cannot exonerate itself from this problem. And I know I'm picking on my own. I'm a parent. I'm picking on parenting. So I think I have the right. I'm part of the club. I can pick on parenting. I'm part of the Christian education community, so I can be critical of Christian education. I'm part of the evangelical born-again church, so I think I have the right and responsibility to perhaps look my brother and sister in the eye, or maybe even myself in the eye, and suggest, you know, we might be falling down. We might be missing the point here. The point I'm trying to make right now is who's responsible? Those that are responsible for the big ideas of culture are the ones that are responsible for this problem, because ideas have consequences. Parents are responsible for inculcating in their children the right ideas. The church is responsible for inculcating in its parishioners the right ideas. It's called the gospel. It's called orthodoxy. We are responsible for the ideas that we pass on to the next generation that follows us. Richard Weaver wrote in 1948 a seminal work that was titled Ideas Have Consequences. What was his point? Ideas have consequences. They matter. And if you teach bad ideas, you get bad results. If you teach good ideas, you get good results. And Weaver was talking about something very important. 1948, he was looking at the Nazi Holocaust. He was looking backward a handful of years to World War II, and he was saying we should have seen it coming because we were teaching lousy ideas. We were parenting lousy ideas. We were educating our next generation with terrible ideas, and the consequences were as predictable as the sunrise.
Okay, so you mentioned something about the snowflake insanity. Maybe describe that for my listeners.
Well, it's not a phrase that I coined. It was actually coined by others. The snowflake rebellion, the snowflake insanity, calling our students precious little snowflakes.
Mm.
So essentially, it's a critical label of the millennial generation that is so gentle and fragile that anytime there's a contrary idea, they wilt, they melt, and they rebel. So rather than dealing, as young men and young women, with controversy and a different idea, a different opinion, often it's a conservative idea because they don't like it. They rebel against it. They protest it. They want to shut it down, and they say, we feel offended. So it's kind of it's a pejorative term that somebody else coined with regard to the millennial generation and their propensity to just want to be comfortable and not be challenged because they'll melt in the face of any controversy.
And I have a hard time understanding why that student felt offended by that lesson.
Me too. Well, it's crazy. I mean, it is the poster child. That's why this story is caught hold.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poster child of the problem. A kid is actually offended with 1 Corinthians 13. It's the least offensive passage of all of the Bible. What could be yes. more affirming? Love is patient, love is kind. This kid felt uncomfortable. His conscience was pricked. He didn't like the feeling of feeling guilt. So he challenged the speaker for it rather than doing what most of us should do, and that is confess.
Yes.
So he blamed rather than confess, because we've taught our kids that a participation in trophy is more important than actually growing up, being a young man, being a young woman, accepting the fact that you're far from perfect, and maybe you should confess your sins rather than find ways to justify them.
Now, did that student know that your editorial was directed at...
No. I've been challenged for that. In fact, some people have said you outed the kid publicly, and that was cruel. Believe it or not, this young man to this day does not know that editorial was about him. And how do I know that? My student development team, my dean of students, has told me the kid doesn't know it's him. The only explanation I could give you to that is he must think that there were enough other students in his peer group that mm-hmm. felt the same way, that they must have been the one.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he was not outed publicly. He never was put out as an individual where he felt unfairly treated.
Yeah, and part of that generation, maybe they are the Zennials. Anyway, part of that generation does tend to think in terms of not themselves. Like it's always somebody else's fault. It's
yeah.
always caused by somebody else. And
well,
so.
the generation, again, it goes back to the problem here. They've been taught that there's very little consequence for their own personal decisions and their own personal beliefs. That it doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you. How many times have we heard that? That there's value neutrality and moral neutrality. Everything's neutral. Everything's nihilistic. Everything is mush. Nothing mm-hmm. has any substance to it any longer. You just float along through life with no consequences, no challenges. Nothing's right. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's up. Nothing's down. Doesn't it smack of Isaiah where mm-hmm. he says, "Woe unto you who call evil good and good evil and bitter sweet and sweet bitter"? Isaiah is warning us of this time. He's warning us of this day when we lose all ability to care mm-hmm. about anything any longer, to the point where we just shrug our shoulders and say, "Whatever."
Mm-hmm.
It's the whateverism of our culture.
Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I'm going to ask the question, how has this changed your university? We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Everett Piper from Oklahoma Wesleyan University. This is located in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and we're talking about a recent event where one of the students took issue with a chapel talk about the love chapter, and that started a whole chain of events. So, well, thank you and welcome for spending this time with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be back here.
So I promised the listeners that I'd ask about if this changed anything with what you and your faculty did going forward.
Well, it didn't change anything in terms of what our teaching paradigm is, because, again, The four pillars of Oklahoma Wesleyan University are very clear. We teach the objectivity of God's truth. We teach that the Bible is inerrant. We teach that truth is given by God, not by you, not by me. And we expect people to practice what they preach, be men and women of integrity. We tell them not to be segregationists. Don't separate things that should be unified. Focus on the unum, not the pluribus. In other words, focus on the first things of unity. It's called a university, by the way, for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
University. It's not called diversity. It's called
yes.
A university. Why? Because it's unity of veritas, unity of the verities, unity of the first things. That's a university. We don't dumb down the definition of education to divisiveness and division. And that is what you get when you focus on diversity rather than university. That's a sidebar there.
Well, yeah, and that brings up, you know, I've had some guests on that really talked about how these diversity studies in universities were creating more problems than solving them.
Because they're self-centered rather than selfless. Anytime you focus on victimization, and anytime you teach victimization, you're going to get vengeance and vice as the result. You need to focus on virtue and veritas if you want a virtuous people. Vengeance is always going to digress to the self-expression of feeling victimized. And what is that going to be? It's always going to be a recoiling, a reaction against those people that you feel offended by. It's self-centered rather than selfless. It focuses on me rather than the Savior. The right way to approach today's problems is to tell people you're not God, God is. So stop worshiping the God you see in the mirror and start looking to the God you see in the Bible. That's the solution. Don't elevate yourself so that you can be in charge of your own vengeance. Doesn't God tell us vengeance is mine,
right,
saith the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you see in the victimization culture today is the complete ignorance of that passage where they actually charge themselves to be instruments of vengeance rather than trusting that God will take care of that while they submit to him in a selfless fashion rather than honoring him as Savior.
I'm talking with Dr. Piper about a recent event at his university where a student took issue with the love chapter in Corinthians in his book, Not a Daycare. I know that some of my listeners would be saying, I would like my students to go to that university. That's the kind of university I want. I've been homeschooling my child, and I would like them to go there. So what do they have to offer?
Well, first of all, let me give you the contact information so that anybody considering that can easily get a hold of us. Go to our website. It's www.okwu.edu. www.okwu.edu. Now, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Dr. Everett Piper. That's DREVERETTPIPER. That's how you would get a hold of us. Now, what does Oklahoma Wesleyan offer? Well, it offers a classical liberal arts education within the context of those four pillars: Christ, Scripture, Truth, Wisdom. We're recognized by U.S. World and News Report as a regional best, a national best, actually. Forbes.com, likewise. And CBS News Money Watch recognized us for four consecutive years as having the best faculty in the nation. We've got 45 different majors that would be with everything from accounting to ministry. So I would welcome anybody looking into us, because we are one of those rare institutions, very few, a handful left, that actually believes in those four pillars: Christ, Scripture, Truth, Wisdom.
Yes, I was going to ask you if you had a statistic on how many universities do believe in those pillars.
Oh, it's interesting. Now you're tempting me to get into trouble, okay? I'm not one to recoil from that. So I'm not going to name institutions because that would be Bush League. But I will say this. This is my industry. I know what goes on. I know what kind of faculty are hired, and I know what's being taught behind the curtain. So I would give the parents and the grandparents that are listening right now this advice. Don't trust the four-color brochure. Anybody can put a nice brochure together that talks about their Christian heritage mm-hmm. or Christian identity. Don't trust it. Pull the president of that institution aside that you think you want to send your kid to and ask him two simple questions. What's your view of truth, and what's your view of Scripture? Be quiet. Listen. Does he say that truth is a revelation of God, an objective revelation, immutable, mm-hmm. unchangeable, it's something to go out and embrace and find? Or does he tell you that it's a postmodern construct and a construct of culture and opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Does he believe the Bible is the Word of God? Or is it just another interesting book of literature? What's your view of truth and what's your view of Scripture? Now, I've added two additional questions to that in recent months. What's your view of marriage and what's your view of life? Mm. So what's your view of Scripture? What's your view of truth? What's your view of marriage and what's your view of life? If that college president can't tell you marriage is a sacrament of the church, my goodness, it's not something to be monkeyed with by the government. And life is defined by God, not you, and not Planned Parenthood. And truth is given by God, not by you, not made up by you or me, and that the Bible is the Word of God. If you don't hear that in clear terms, as clear as what I'm saying right now, don't send your kid to that school.
Amen. Amen. Well, I don't want to give away the whole book, but I would like just a little bit on what you mean by our education nightmare.
Well, we've created a nightmare for ourselves. Let me share an example of the Not a Daycare data. When I wrote the original opinion piece, which was only an 800-word essay, and it went viral, 3.5 million people read it within 2 weeks. We know that. We could see it on Limbaugh and Beck and O'Reilly and Drudge and Dreher. We could see the people that were clicking on the story. And as you know, those people have the opportunity to comment. So we decided to do a statistical analysis and figure out were the comments good or bad. Of the 3.5 million clicks, 97% of the comments were positive and 3% were negative. Now, what's the point? Why should people care? Well, the poster child of the positive is not the Christian. The poster child of the positive, the 97%, was the atheist faculty member from the University of Central Florida who sent me a hard copy letter and said, "Piper, I've read your Not a Daycare piece, period. I went to your website and tried to figure out who you are, period. As an atheist, I can easily dismiss both your religion and your politics, and I do, period. But on this issue, thank you, kudos. It needed to be said. Please carry on." Signed, Fulbright Scholar, University of Central Florida. That's the poster child of the positive. Now, who were the 3%? Who was the negative? The church.
Unbelievable.
It was the church, the Christian college faculty member, the youth pastor who thinks he's smarter than thou, who wrote me and said, "Shame on you."
Wow.
It's the atheist that wrote me and said, "Good for you." So what do I mean by educational nightmare? We've created this mess. We've been teaching this lousy ontology and epistemology and theology. We've been teaching these terrible ideas in the academy, and now this monster is turning around to consume us. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. It's the atheist that recognizes this monster is getting me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Christian who's living in a delusional world not recognizing that it's a problem. So it's an educational nightmare of our own making.
Mm.
We've created a mess. This monster is turning around to consume us. Now it's an opportunity because this atheist is begging for an answer. He's writing me and he's saying, "You're right. I don't agree with your religion or your politics, but you're right." What a wonderful opportunity for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful opportunity to step into the gap and say, "Well, let's have a cup of coffee over why I'm right." This is a huge, huge opportunity. The world is begging for this answer.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of the show, and thank you so much for stopping by and taking this time to talk to us.
Oh, honored. Thank you for having me.
I have one more thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.